Hello again, and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. My name is Kevin Walter. I am your host, and True Wealth, as usual, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus, excuse me, is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We operate out of Spokane, Washington. Our address is 3201 North Division Street, inside what is called the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. It's been there since like 05. I built the building back then, and praise the Lord. There's interesting things that happen at different times in life. And when I look back at that, when you're at different age generations or categories or whatever you want to call it, you have different levels of drive. And when I look back at the risk I took, and I mean, I'll be honest, I borrowed a lot of dough at that time. Didn't even bat an eye. Didn't even think twice. Knew it was right, obviously, completely from the Lord. From opening the business back in, I started doing the business in the 90s when I was a regional sales manager for a division of Bank of America. And excuse me here, but I don't really have a method of blocking my awkward noises as I wish I did. I'm broadcasting remotely, and the unit is very basic. So anyway, I started in the 90s. I was in banking, and my whole background is kind of interesting because I was always a pretty smart guy, but I was always, you know, a little bit on the brink, if you will. Always kind of an adrenaline junkie and kind of, you know, just alive. And in an era when things were what they were, and I think people took certain things way too serious at that time and other things not serious enough. So in the 70s, kids were allowed to roam free. And I have no complaint about that because society could tolerate that. When I was in elementary school, I'd just go for these day-long bike rides and explore. You didn't have to worry about much. You know, once in a while you get some weirdo that push you down or hit you or yell at you or whatever. But as a general rule, at least from my exposure at that state, we didn't have near the amount of evil that has permeated our society. Not even close. And, and when people lie about that, they're deceiving themselves because, you know, I'll never forget in the 90s, this new philosophical perspective. There are no absolutes. Your truth and my truth are different. Okay? So they infused our minds with that. And then what? We get 9/11. Okay? And everyone's like, that's bad. Wait, you can't say that's bad because your bad might be my bad or not be my bad. Well, that was a Muslim good. And then we get society, these barfy politicians coming out going, Muslims are a peace-loving religion. And these politicians are standing in front of cameras going, well, you know, we're having a lot of Muslim hatred and discrimination. Well, they dumped it on the Muslims, which were involved, and then it was, let's chase down Osama bin Laden. But the fact of the matter is, folks, Islam's bad. If you were aware at the time, I was just really paying a lot of attention. Spiritually, I was in my Bible a lot and figuring out some stuff. I did not know a lot about Islam. And my kids at that point, or at least afterwards, were in a Christian school. And my daughter came home one day and she goes, "Dad, what, you know, what's Muslim? What's Islam or whatever?" And I, you know, I told her what I knew. I mean, I'd, quote, studied the religions, unquote, as a Christian. I tried to study the religions in college in a religion class. You want propaganda? Holy moly. I also took a Bible class. Oh, my Lord. So the Bible class was taught by a Jewish lady who I would describe as Jewish in nationality only. But guess what Jews think of the New Testament? Not much. So that class was designed to devastate your faith in the Word. When I studied these religions as a Christian, it gave me the contrast based on Christianity. And even though you can kind of read them and comprehend them, it's just not the same until you experience it. So I told her what I thought I knew, and I said, "You know what we need to do? Let's get a Quran." Okay, the Quran is one of their holy books, and it's their main one. And so basically we started to read that, folks, and I'm telling you something. It put an absolute end to the concept of Islam being a good religion. I talked to so many people that kind of sort of know it's not good Christians. They'll say to me, "Man, Kevin, you say some crazy stuff on the air. You could get killed, okay?" Yep, maybe. I sure hope not. But folks, first of all, I desire truth. I try to say everything that is based or grounded in some form of truth. Secondly, if you think, "Man, that guy is kind of reckless, he could get killed, he's crazy," well, that might be why I'm doing it and you're not. It takes all kinds to make the world go round, but I will tell you that, you know, there's bravery and there's cowardice, and there's also good old-fashioned stupidity, right? And I probably fall somewhere in between with a high dose of stupidity. I don't know. But there is cowardice. And one thing I've kind of learned, it's just God's fun. If you spend time realizing who you are, why you're here, how God made you, why God made you, what's your purpose, where are you going, who's God, these are things that I just kind of float around in this, you know, this plasma, like, this is amazing. I mean, what God's created. But I'm learning more and more about people and what makes them tick, and I'm not a psychologist, but I'm going to tell you. There's like this new psychological profile test, OCEAN, by Jordan Peterson. He's a brilliant, brilliant psychiatrist or psychologist or both or whatever. And it has, you know, five different personality traits that affect who you are, okay? And I'm going to see if I can find it up. Let's see. Ocean, dinga, dinga, ding. Okay. Let's see. I should. Okay. And I just get on here and it's random. So if you wonder why I'm never prepared, it's because I'm never prepared. Okay. It's called an ocean personality test. Okay. There's five personality traits. OCEAN. And anytime you see this stuff, you know, you can go, "I don't agree," and blah, blah, blah. Maybe there's more, maybe whatever. Someone made it. It's pretty effective, and it's good to know, okay? It's called the Big Five. It doesn't mean it. Maybe it's all the five or whatever. So basically what it is, and this is a lovely site. It lays it out, doesn't tell you the definition. You know, you kidding me? Do you ever get tired of that? Bad deal. Oh, Lord, help me out here. So we'll go on to the next link. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay, the big five personality test. Let's try this. Okay, so here, please be there. Oh, my gosh, there's the test. Yeah, this is good old giggle. I just want to know what the five personality traits are. I know N is neuroticism, A is agreeability. I suppose I could probably kind of figure it out in my head from what I remember. Okay, let me. I'm going to quit looking and just use my head. How about that? O is openness. Okay, so that would be extroversion. C is conscientiousness. That is an awareness to detail, like situational awareness, peripheral vision, wanting, caring if things are right, caring if things are clean. Obviously, the guy that lives in a rusted trailer house with a bunch of dumpy cars in his yard is really low on conscientiousness, okay? So you and then now see, I did that wrong. O is openness, not extroversion. O means outgoing, like sharing deep, deep things, transparent. So there's basically five levels of communication, they say. And the one and two are very superficial, okay? And so openness is where you spill your guts. And I tend to be that way, and I tend to do really well with communicating with people on those levels. And you basically have, it starts out with, the non personal and then the interpersonal and then the depth, and it's all ways of sharing intimacy, and that's how you reach deep intimate communication with people. So they have like, so level one, I wasn't prepared. I don't have this in front. What I need to do is quit looking and just go to my brain, because I've seen this stuff. I'm going to be off a little bit, I'll tell you. So the first one is super, like, superficial. It's, hey, how you doing? Good, how you doing? As you walk by someone. The next one, the second level of personal, interpersonal communication, is where a lot of us function and, like, yeah, football team or football game 44-16, and, you go to customers, you're giving them information. This is this, and the Gold Eagles that, and da 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 da. It's a little more, it's informational, I'll call it. And then when you go to the third level of communication, it's where you start to open up and you start to share more and more of who you are, or at least your values, or I wouldn't even say values, I'd say your ideas and opinions. And so you start stepping out just a little bit. A little bit of things that define you. So you're technically increasing your risk at that point. So you're not just, sharing the fact that it's going to rain tomorrow, but you're starting to share with people your actual thoughts. That's when we get to the point where we're sharing what God made us to do. We create thoughts and ideas, and each of them are unique to us. And you'll start to say, what do you want for dinner? And, and if you have a lot of people around you, I got to tell you something about that, too, that's kind of funny. So, and people have to start sharing their opinions and preferences. So on level three, when you do the what do you want for dinner, I have an employee who is, he was raised in a blue-collar home, and so it's where, people have jobs. You go to your job, you do your job, you do a good job, and you come home. He works now for us. We're a private company, and the levels of responsibility increase, and so does the personal, interpersonal growth. You have to think, and you have to turn that part of your brain on. And it's really interesting how many people learn to go through life with what I would call intellectual laziness, where you learn not to turn on your brain. I remember being in like college and starting to study mathematics and going, this hurts really bad. And then after, as I was a senior and I walked through the Strand Union building, and I'd never played chess, and I asked a guy to teach me how to play chess in this big area where they did it. Like within 3 days, I was just mopping up on these guys, not because I'm special, but I had spent like 4.5 years just studying all this extremely high-level mathematics. Back then, everything had to be laid out on paper. I would have one, you know, engineering-based math problem that would take up 5 tight-lined legal, big, great big legal note pages, you know, just to get to one solution. And so my brain started to think 8, 10, 12 steps ahead, which was pretty amazing. I remember actually observing myself doing that going, this is kind of crazy, you know? And so anyway, with this guy that works for me, we've been talking, and he started to do some research on sales, you know, or just interactive stuff. And he found this guy named Grant Cardone, who is a big sales training coach. And by the way, just to clarify, we don't do sales. I always say we tell, we don't sell. No one has any incentive. They don't make any profit based on any aspect of the sale. But it's important to me that we handle each and every client to the best of our abilities, where we're listening, we're hearing, we're trying to help you out. And like I said to him the other day, I said, what's really neat about what we do, and I've done a lot. I spent a couple years in the car business as a business manager, then a senior business manager. And I hate to say this, but I used to go to work back then when I was getting into that. And I'd tell my wife, well, I got to go to work today and sell a bunch of people stuff that they don't need and don't know they need. I mean, when you go into the car booth, folks, watch it. When you think you're getting an extended warranty, be careful, because it's not your car warranty extended. All these radio ads for extended warranties, they're not good. They always say, we'll pay for 100% of covered items. Covered items. You have to read. You got to learn technically how to dissect what's being said. The covered items are engine, transmission, and drive axle assembly, pretty much. Everything else is, you're pretty much on your own. And the profit margins in those are absurd. Whoever sells it to you makes about a third of it. The broker or the provides it makes about a third of it. The insurance company is insuring you on a third of the premium. Unwind that a little. In the car business, it's way worse. They used to have warranties where our cost would be $500, and they would be these salesmen would retail them for $1,800. When I went to work for Appleway, Subaru, Mazda, VW, Audi, I was in a hard spot, needed a job, had a connection, needed money fast, and Vaughn Jones, the general sales manager there, and Jack Pring, the owner, got me a job as a business manager. I made promises. I had no idea what I was doing, but I knew enough about the car business from banking. They were only making like $400 a copy on the back, and I said I'd get it up over 1,000, which was like just blabbing because I had to have a job. So long story short, one day I was sitting in my office, and I had customers backed up, and these three suits walk in, a gal and two guys, good-looking people. You ready to go? Go where? To lunch. What for? We're from Subaru. Okay, what for? Scott didn't tell you? Scott Gukstetter was our general manager. I'm like, tell me what? They said, you had the number one Subaru warranty penetration in the nation. I'm like, what? And they go, yeah, and you got these awards. We sent these gift certificates. You got this, you got that. I go, I never got that. Well, my general manager took it, never told me a word. And I was backed up with customers, so I couldn't even go to lunch. But I gave him about 10 minutes, which is the car business, by the way. So I gave him about 10 minutes. I go, how do you do it? I said, here's how I do it. I said, the Subaru warranty at that time, you know, they had like bronze, silver, gold or whatever. I said, it's a good warranty because it was a manufacturer's warranty. That was good. And I said, the problem with everybody on these warranties is they want to mark them way up. And I said, a lot of these people pay cash and they don't want to spend extra money and they don't want warranties. But I said, the product's really good. So what I would do is instead of taking a warranty, and this is the 90s, so costs were different, but say the cost was $400, $500, or more like $400, $600, $800 for bronze, silver, gold. I said, I'll add $200 instead of, they wanted you to add like a grand. I said, I'll just add $100 or $200 because I believe in the product and it's something rather than nothing. And I pretty much could convince everyone to get that. And I was honest. I would say, look, here's the information. Here's what it covers. This is my cost. I was like, the dealership has to make something, da 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 da. And I would show them, I'd just add $200. And I could, you know, and I had like a 96% penetration rate. And that's fair. To me, that's fair because I was providing a service to a customer that was worthy. Then you'd get like the big truck buyers from Chevy. They had these warranties now, folks. People are paying $6,500 for a warrant, extended warranty on a big truck. First of all, don't ever buy any of it. But if you absolutely can't help yourself, wait till the warranty runs out on your vehicle. Don't buy an extended warranty on day one. People don't hang on to those vehicles generally that long. I mean, it's human nature to flip them about every 3 years. I'm just saying, don't buy all that junk. The other thing with car dealers is they make what's called reserve. That's where they have a buy rate, an interest rate that they can buy your paper at, in other words, write your note at, and they make money by marking it up. So if you go in, you got to know, call your credit union, call your bank, see what their auto loan rate is, and then you can compare it to the dealer. The dealers will get factory subsidized financing sometimes. And I won't get into how leases work, but you know, basically all that stuff you just need to be an aware consumer. Okay. So now that we've migrated all down that road, let me get my computer to wake back up here and I'll get back to the ocean thing. So basically when you're sharing ideas and opinions, I don't even know how I got off on that tangent. I know, because I was talking about an employee. So anyway, in the 90s, I'll speed through this. I'm eating up time bad. Yeah. In the 90s, Grant Cardone was a sales training coach for the auto industry. And this kid was listening to him, and I guess my daughters listened to him, and he's pretty respectable now, but he helps people with real estate or whatever. And he was telling me about him, and I said, well, I met the guy. And he's like, you did? I go, yeah. Back in the 90s, he came to Appleway. Before, you know, this is way back in the day. We were doing 2,000 to 2,500 cars a month out of Spokane. Appleway was like top 10 in the nation. So we had a week-long training program with Grant Cardone, and there's a point why I got on this. So I'll tell you real quick, you know, they broke us up into five groups. I was in management group and helped teach the whole 5 weeks. I mean, I didn't help teach, but I facilitated. And at the end of the 5 days... for the week, they tell the dealership, they give the dealership all these resources to prepare for a great big sale on that weekend. And they'd have this big sale. But what was really cool about this Grant Cardone, the sales training coach, he would hit the sales floor with the salespeople at this big sale. And they'd have like stuff they'd give out to get people in. So Grant Cardone and two of his guys came to the show floor, and they actually took ups, they call it, with the salespeople to sell cars. Now, this guy's telling you how to sell. In one day, or maybe one weekend, I'm sorry, one weekend, Grant himself sold 8 cars at full retail, basically, or full price, not just, you know, totally, there's a term I won't use, not just dropping his shorts, right? The only reason he only sold eight is he only took eight customers, and they weren't his choice. I mean, he just took ups like everyone else. Really, really good at what he did. So there's a couple different things. When I said level three or the OCA, or no, I'm jumping around like a, yeah, no, back to five levels of communication. How about that? The sharing ideas and opinions. What do you want for dinner? Well, he would say, so what kind of car do you want? People, what? I don't know. Here's something to try. If you did know, what kind of car would you want? You say to someone, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. Well, if you did know, what would you want? Don't let them know you're doing it. I guarantee you, it'll blow your mind. 95% of the time, they'll tell you. It has something to do with the brain and shifting to a different part of the brain. There's a lot of other techniques like that. Another thing that isn't exactly from, it's not from Grant Cardone, but when people, if you deal with someone who's highly emotional and they run strictly on emotion and they actually are willing to listen and they care and they'd like to work through it, when they're getting extremely emotional, that's very right-brained. Say to them, hey, I'm going to ask you a series of just easy math problems. Just answer them. They're going to be easy. And if they're crying and it's not rational and they keep going, go, what's three? Just, they have to agree to play, but you go, what's three times six? At first, it's going to be extremely difficult for them to answer that question because they're in their right brain. You just watch. It's crazy. Now, my wife's highly emotional, and we've done this. Okay, what's three times six? And it's a struggle. It's like frazzle. I don't know. I'm stressed. Okay, what is it? Okay, 18. Okay, what's four times six? You know. And then pretty soon, as you can see that shift, that needle goes over to the left brain. What's five times six? All of a sudden, 30. What's six times six? 36. Six times seven, 42. And you start rolling, and then you'll see them go back once or twice. Okay, so let's, what's three times eight? You'll see the emotion come back. Come on, let's get back in that left brain. And then it's like three times eight, 24, four times eight, 32, five times eight, 40, six times eight, 48, et cetera. And you get them going, and you'll actually see the sun come back because they have to get out of that emotional state. We have to be really careful about letting emotions become our guide and our God. People worship emotions. You can get addicted to emotion. If you have a victim's mentality, you may not even know it. If you're defensive, you have a victim's mentality. And if you know, people who are defensive, you know what they'll say? I'm not defensive. Well, that right there says you are. If someone says to me, you're being defensive, I'll say, how? Or whatever, and you ask questions. Questions. Use questions rather than statements. One of the most annoying people to be around is the know-it-all. They have to have an answer for everything all the time. They got to know everything, and they blurt it out, and they're insensitive. Just ask questions. Why do you have to be right all the time? And why not take constructive criticism? If someone gives you advice, just do the shoe fits model. If the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't. Who cares? So you can get addicted to emotion with a victim's mentality. It releases endorphins. It releases adrenaline. It releases cortisol. It can tamper with your dopamine and your serotonin. You can get high. You get addicted to that poor me feeling. And how dare them? But you're not making decisions relevant to your own life at that point. You're acting as if you have no control and you're giving up the control to someone else. And guess what? You're not giving it up to God. So you want to be really careful about letting your emotions dictate who you are. The Bible says emotions are deceptive, and it says other things too. So anyway, that the whole point was I'd given him some pointers on some different things from Grant Cardone. There's other things that are really interesting, like I won't even get into them all, but there's some wonderful, wonderful methods of communication, and he's been applying them, and they work really well. And he's basically an awesome kid, but he when you come from an environment where you have always worked for someone else, and trust me, you don't realize it. I mean, if you're a union worker, you know, you have a good job. You have a good job, you make a good wage, you do your hours, you go home. If you're like me, you're self-employed, you're working 20 hours a week, you got to do what you got to do when you got to do it, you got to make hay while the sun's shining. But every little thing in our facility, I'm responsible for ultimately. Water leaks, you know, burnout light bulbs, carpet problems, you know, electrical stuff, whatever it is. You know, miscommunication on, you know, blah, blah, whatever. People, you name it. It's a lot more pressure. And at first, when I got into the business, I about had a breakdown. And then over time, I've adapted. So anyway, enough of that. So level three, communication. So we're doing the ocean thing. So level one is superficial. Level two is information. Level three for communication is you're starting to share your ideas and opinions. Level four is where you start to share your values and feelings. And that's where you start talking about your faith and you're talking about your faith and you're talking about your values. And you got to be careful. That's the openness thing. You got to be really careful not to just go blurting that out. I tell you to talk to people. No, you know, it says, the Bible says, be prepared in season and out of season. You know, to give a reason or an account of what you believe and why you believe it, basically. But don't just hit people between the eyes. Folks, do you know, I can't even imagine. I'm pretty outward. And I can't remember many people that I've ever had much of an impact on by sharing what I share. I did have a gal one time who came in who was the head of the pre-med program at a local college, a state university, who came in and had heard me years back, and I made her so angry. She was a liberal. I made her so angry because she listened to me a few more times and then was going to come and prove me wrong. And she did some research and started trying to gather data to prove me wrong and found out I'd been right. Then she found out she'd been lied to her whole life by the liberal media, and she got ticked. And she came in, she wanted to tell me how everything had gone down and how she changed her views. And then, of course, she started to invest substantial amounts of money in metals. But that's a fluke. And that was a gal who's obviously got wisdom and the desire to grow. The problem is she'd just been fed the wrong information. But generally, you're not going to convert anybody to your side through debates and blurting out your opinion. I was on the phone the other night with a gal, a customer's wife, a customer's deceased. She's flaming lefty. They were, you know, union. He retired union, dropped out of school in ninth grade, whatever. And for a long, long time on the phone, she was telling me how all, first it was Trump bash. Then she was telling me how all Republicans are just liars and cheats and thieves and no good. And I'm like, you really believe half the United States is like that? Oh, yeah. That's why they joined the Republican Party. I didn't say a word, you know, and I had it again the other night with someone else. I don't, you know, when to pick your battles. And Jesus said clearly, do not throw your pearls to swine. What's a swine do? Eats it up. And then you know what it does next? He craps it out. You can't. They'll never appreciate it. So don't throw your pearls to swine. Lifestyle evangelism is the key. So fourth level is your values and all that and feelings, but just be careful jumping into that. The fifth level is that deep, 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 intimate confession. That's where you share depth. Different people aren't made for this. I mean, My wife grew up in a rough environment, and she just, frankly, she's blocked out a ton of her life. She just doesn't remember it. And I, you know, had my experiences, trust me, and I remember it, and I share it. But some people just aren't capable of that deep confession, that, you know, just sharing your feelings and that connection. And some stuff that goes into that communication style, folks, be really, really careful to be harmonious. So many people, again, like I talked about how annoying the know-it-all is. And believe me, I know them. They don't care what you think. And they start every sentence with, well, I'm not sure I agree with that. Or, no, that's not the case. Or you say, hey, Joe Smith really hurt Mary. Oh, they go, well, he's actually a really good guy. Well, it's irrelevant. You discuss the empathy. I had a situation years back with in my industry where a guy in Spokane, Steve Baldwin, went to prison for ripping people off back in the 90s. He's reopened at times, and he gets his business licenses in other people's names. He's downtown Spokane. You know, he's a criminal. He spent a lot of years. He absconded a lot of money. He did a lot of bad things. And there's another guy in town who, when Steve Baldwin got out of prison, I was in his shop dealing with him, and then Steve Baldwin came in, and I said, why are you dealing with him? He goes, oh, I'm going to finance him to get back into business. And I go, why would you do that? He goes, I can make a lot of money. And I go, yeah. But he ripped a lot of people off, and I knew a lot of people, they never got made right. The FBI picked like 9 or 11 cases that were slam dunks. Everyone else was left hanging out. And he goes, well, he never stole from me. Folks, that is not a good approach. Never take that approach. That is hurtful to a lot of people in a lot of ways. Integrity is integrity. And, you know, you look at like Psalms 15, and it talks about how, you know, what, how you can dwell in the holy hill of the Lord. And it's, it says, that's the wrong one here. Shoot. Man. Okay. Lord, who may dwell in your tent? Who may settle on your holy hill? One who walks with integrity, practices righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. Speaks truth in his heart, because that's really where it's at. It says integrity, righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor do evil to his neighbor, or bring shame on his friend. Now, this is the important part. A despicable person is despised in his eyes, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He takes an oath to his own detriment and does not change. You give your word, and that's it. He does not lend his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. One who does these things will never be shaken. So, you know, God doesn't like that. So that's the five levels there, and we'll get back. I'm bouncing like a rubber ball here, huh? So the ocean, openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, and then there's agreeableness and neuroticism. And agreeableness is where I was going. Some people are super, super agreeable. A person who's overly, overly agreeable is a detriment. Agreeableness is really important biblically. And people, I've talked to people that try to key off this test and act like people are too agreeable. There's no such thing. You can be agreeable and wise, But the whole point is, if someone's totally agreeable, you got to watch out too, because, you know, Jesus said, woe to you who want to please everyone, etc. But one thing I was getting at, and this is a long road to the same thing, there's two things. There's people who want to be liked, and Jesus says, woe to you if you want everyone to like you. But one thing I've learned that's even worse, I think the worst thing I've seen that creates pure cowardice and is the fear of being disliked or rejected, or, you know, when people have a fear of being disliked, they make bad decisions. They lose their any backbone, and they just cower. Someone who wants to be liked a lot of times will stand out. They'll go too far. You'll see kids in school that are a little bit of the class clown, or, you know, they're overly friendly. That can be a real positive attribute. But a fear of being disliked causes cowardice. That's the guy that goes and hovers in the corner. He picks the wrong friends because he can't be around people that are better than him. You know, he'll pick friends that have issues. Because they don't want to be disliked. They're so tender, they don't want to be disliked. So you got to think about that. It actually creates the next one, which is neuroticism. It's irrational fears, etc. So there's a little bit of food for thought for you there. So now what I'm going to do, in the short amount of time left, I'm going to get back to where I was on Monday. And on Monday, I kind of went through a little, a script. I talked about finances and money and investing. And then I talked about state of our union, if you will, the Kevin's State of the Union address, I guess you might want to call it. And I basically was talking about, I was just talking a bunch of negative trash. No, I'm kidding. I was discussing the nation and the state of it, and it's serious. We're really not in a good place right now, to put it lightly. We've got so much garbage going on. Right now it's not even worth making a list, because all I'm going to do is just depress you, frankly. We the whole Biden issue, all these things have us held down way below standards. And my wife was been on her back and with the surgery, and we've been in and out. And I'll tell you what, the medical system, folks, we've had a bad experience. Oh, it's changed. COVID devastated it. It's just bad. But so she watched a little bit of this, this Meghan and Harry thing, Meghan Markle. And the way these people have approached and affected the royalty, and it's just, we've just hit a state in this world where the media kept supporting her. It keeps doing it. She's doing awful things. She's very deceptive. She's an actress. And it's the media that's actually making it possible for her to essentially disavow, leadership. And I know people go, the British royalty's into all this child stuff and whatever. I mean, whatever, okay? I mean, at what point is there not a conspiracy everywhere? The bottom line is, Solomon said you got to kind of respect people at that level. You're not going to go down in history as a bad person for showing respect for, people of high stature that were put there by God. I can tell you that right now. That's pretty much that. So I'm going to move on from there. It's the state of our union. We need to secure our finances in hard assets fast. You need to not procrastinate, not tarry, not waste. Don't buy the lie, the deception. They want your money. Solomon said money is the answer to everything. And I'll leave it at that. So I was talking about on Monday, you know, the left-wing communist incursion that's taken place everywhere. Our government's taken over by the deep state. I remember when I met with John Boehner, it's been quite a while ago, before he stepped down, and he explained to me all these, that there's secret societies, all this stuff. He was aware of it. People, you know, they bashed on him because he looked like he was drunk all the time, and he probably was because of all the stress of the job. I don't know. But I sat around with him for a day, and, you know, yeah, he definitely drank scotch. But he's no fool, I'll tell you that. He didn't end up where he was by being dumb, but he also wasn't a sellout. And he knew how bad things were. And he said every investigation, I asked him about there was all the Obama scandals at the time, and he goes, Kevin, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Every single investigation ends up at the White House, and he explained to me he called it the State Department, the deep state. They have planted people all throughout, generation after generation, and they are. And now we get to the point where we've got the FBI, the CIA, the DEA. It's all corrupt. It's all money and power and control, and everyone that works for them has no clue. But everyone at a high level, they get to the seventh floor and they become corrupt. You look at the dirt that the FBI has been pulling. It's unbelievable. I mean, Trump gets in office and the first thing they do is come in and knowingly start to accuse him of this Russian dossier, but they knew it was false, okay? So it's a dark place. How about that? So I talked a little bit about that, and I'm going to go. They've rejected the Constitution. They want to get rid of it. FDR started it. Obama really brought in some high octane. Thomas Jefferson warned us about all of it. Washington warned us about all of it. I talked about Islam a little bit ago. That's Jefferson said, if they ever get involved, we're done. We're letting these kinds of people pour through our border. These aren't our original immigrants, folks. We're polluting our country with non-American, America-hating individuals. Yes, there's people that want to come here and get a job. But big deal. That doesn't make them okay. You understand why they're doing it. They're not bad people, but bad people are coming here. So they're just trying to do the best. And then big mouth Biden stands up there and says, come on in, come on over. Well, it's partially a distraction. And then he goes, he doesn't go to East Palestine about the train derailment, and instead and he goes to Ukraine, and the media says, what a great guy, how awesome, and he gives all this money to Ukraine, which has been their money laundering capital of the world, for bribes and filth and Burisma with Hunter and on and on and on, and it's trash. And then Trump goes to East Palestine, brings in truckloads of free bottles of water and all this, and the media rips on him. The biggest issue is our media, and our academia. But our academia is producing our media. Okay? That's a huge issue. And we talked about Obama and all this stuff and his Islam connections, the money he paid. And I went through a whole bunch of stuff. So basically, I'm going to pick up where I left off in this small amount of time I got left. So the last thing I talked about, you can't, fear and faith occupy the same part of the brain. You can't have both at the same time. And I talked about, precious metals-based assets are the, you pray for the best, prepare for the worst, okay? When it comes to your finances, I can assure you there's only one place that's truly secure as far as maintaining value. You obviously have to protect it. We offer the highest rated privately held depository service in the West U.S. The place, the safest place, obviously, is precious metals-based assets. And simply we do that for you. We build portfolios, been doing it for years and decades, and we're good at it. We're fair. We're honest. Everything's wholesale. We take care of all the pricing. Do not go get ripped off. There's every advertisement on TV, radio, print magazines, commission salespeople are waiting to lie to you, deceive you, and rip you off. Well, how do you know that, Kevin? I've been doing it 30 years. I have tried to unwind hundreds of millions of dollars of people's major mistakes. The other game I said 401ks and IRAs. They want to roll you into metals. Why? You never see it. It goes from them to the 401k. And there's a whole mess there. 401ks and IRAs, folks, 100% taxable eventually. All you're doing is deferring, procrastinating the inevitable. One thing you got to understand with the IRS, all taxes always ultimately get paid. And as Einstein said, in natural law, which apply or a physical law, which applies to natural law, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The longer the reaction is resisted, the greater that reaction becomes at an exponential pace. When you pack up all this procrastinated taxation, it's at your income level at the time. And then you build up this massive nest egg. You want a chunk of it. Guess what? You're paying way more, a lot higher brackets over time. Part of the Communist Manifesto is a progressive taxation system that increases over time. Watch for Obama or watch for Biden. 87,000 IRS agents and a new tax plan coming. The tax plan's going to come right as he introduces the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. It's all coming together. They're going to control every penny you have. Everything's digitally tracked and monitored. You can't sneak around with your phone. You think you got Bitcoin. Doesn't matter. They want everything in their digital currency. So the only thing left is cash and metals. Cash will last longer than it should because the American dollar is respected and loved, and it's a habit. But a few generations, they have it gone. I don't think we're going to be around that long. But to be honest with you, folks, just secure your wealth in what God said is money from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, period. And I've gone through that. I don't have time today. I wish I had 3 hours, a lot of days. Just do it. Why not? What are you going to do? Everything else is blown up and gone sideways and hyperinflated. And right now, everything is chaotic. It's waiting. Before COVID hit, I kept saying, things are too quiet. Something's going to come. Things are too quiet right now on that front. We have all these distractions coming at us to keep our eyes off the ball. So I'm just telling you, waste not, want not. If you procrastinate that, you're going to take it hard and you're going to wish you did not. So we're currently facing a complete and total informational takeover of our nation and world. Okay? The real disinformation is coming from our web browsing sources, social media companies. These are the new brains of the people, and it's going to get worse. Our schools have captured and corrupted the minds of our children. COVID removed our work ethic and unity from businesses and school systems. COVID created poor work ethic in many ways. And intellectual, like I said, intellectual laziness. You're not engaged with people. You got masks on. You can't see their face. You're not. It's destructive, right? It created poor work ethic and division over the vaccination lies and distrust over the way we viewed others as the threat. It created a lack of empathy towards our fellow citizens. The masks ruined children's development and prevented normal, healthy interactions among adults. The fake pandemic created dependency upon the government and social media for information and resources. It tore down the middle class America, despite their ignorance to what was occurring. It literally dismantled the middle class lifestyle in countless ways. It brought 90% of small businesses to an end. And small business was the number one employer in America since its inception. Additionally, over 90% of small businesses or S corporations are politically conservative. So you tell me what right our government or any government has to choose what was and was not an essential business. How many Americans get their information, or should I say, you know, propaganda or disinformation from the corrupt disinformation of the cancel culture social media world? If you look at the leaders of these social media companies, they almost look demon possessed. And I'm pretty sure the devil is the chief spiritual officer, CSO, of these corporations. It's pretty obvious that as the devil is looking and choosing where to place his influence and where to place or send his most powerful entities for influential actions, I would say these social media companies and online developers would be the locations he would have chosen or would choose. In addition, we see mass mayhem and chaos, radically entitled, spoiled, rotten brat rebellions, rebellious people, seriously, which, of course, George Soros is funding them all. Obama's heading up what's called the Organized for Action, OFA, under George Soros, which George Soros's media organization is called Media Matters. He's overseen as him as, Obama has overseen as he's self-professed community organizer. He's overseen the, you know, our history and creating all this stuff. He purports the absolute tearing down of the moral fabric of our society. They do not like America. Everything's about being Black Lives Matter, Antifa, you know, all this false flag events, the phony January 6th event. Most of the major events in the history of the U.S. have been generated, like major wars and everything, by constructed false flags. Every war, the civil, you know, civil disobedience, the civil disobedience, pandemic, you know, they use fears to get, you know, skewed perspectives, stolen elections. The cancel culture is one of the greatest deceptions in the history of the world. The destruction of the greatest country ever to ever occupy this planet has been orchestrated through the bribery of corrupt, godless leaders and politicians. And I could keep going, but guess what? The CBDC is coming fast. Many countries are already implementing it. I've discussed that. Simple as this. Coins Plus, 509-444-0044. You want two nice silver dollars? Go give us 3 5-star reviews based on business experience. Call us, we verify, and we'll get them to you. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Be wise, and God is the source of wisdom. Take care and God bless. Thank you. Bye-bye.